And that's the key thing. And it's a mindset thing. And I come across a lot of people that do that. They say, oh, I'm no good at this. I'm no good at that. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'm saying, okay, you might not be able to do it yet. Right. But have that what she calls a growth mindset. Things are possible. Anything's possible.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am joined by Gavin Scott. Now, Gavin is the best-selling customer experience author of Finding Gold Dust, How to Create Exceptional Customer Experiences. And he's also host of the Customer Service Gold Dust podcast and a professional speaker on all things customer experience. Now, we are part of the Right Business Results authors. We're part of the authors there, which is how we met. And, you know, our paths have crossed in other ways because I very happily helped him get his new pad earlier on in the year. We arranged his mortgage for him. So that was really cool. And we're going to talk about goals and goal setting and customer experience and see where it goes. But over to you, Gavin. Tell us anything that I've missed out there.
No, that's all good. You know, it's great to be here on your podcast with you, Doug. And, thanks, public thanks for helping to secure my current house. You and your team worked hard to help to make sure that we were able to move in and benefit from the stamp duty holiday, which was great. So that saved me a good chunk of cash. So great to be on your podcast with you and sharing some thoughts and ideas about goal setting today.
Excellent. So one of the first questions I ask my guests is, have you had or are you working on any big, hairy, audacious goals, bags at the moment? Have you had any that you've achieved? How did you go about it? Or are you working on any at the moment that you're happy to share with the world?
Well, there is one that I've been working on for quite some time, Doug. Back in 2003, I qualified as a referee and I passed my course. And I set myself a goal of being a premiership match official, right? And I came back from the course and I wrote down on a piece of paper, I am a premiership match official. And my wife, she looked at me, my wife Amy, she was like, Gav, you've only just passed your test, love. I said, I know, but I've got to think and believe that I can be a premiership match official, right? And so I had this, it was on my wall in my office where I was based in Leeds at the time. And I read it every day. In 2013, you know, I got quite close. I was one step below being a premiership match official. And me and my wife decided to have more kids, Doug. And so when my third daughter arrived, Maddie, one weekend, I mean, you can imagine, you know, refereeing, it's a big commitment. You know, it's not just the Saturday or the Wednesday night. It's the fitness that you have to keep focused on to make sure that you can perform well on a Saturday and a Wednesday night or a Sunday, whenever the games took place. And one weekend, you know, my wife says to me, love, she says, you know, you work away a lot, right? And you also work away a lot at the weekend. Sometimes you leave the house at 10 o'clock in the morning and we just don't see you until 8 o'clock at night. And so she says, we love you and the kids love you, but we'd like to see you.
I can feel a butt coming.
Yes. You can imagine my face during this conversation, Doug. I was thinking, okay, something's coming. She says, we love you and the kids love you. You know, we want to see more of you, Gav. And I was like, yeah. This is, you're right. It was a no-brainer. And in 2013, Doug, I hung up my refereeing boots and I gave all of my kit away. And one of my neighbor's lads was an aspiring referee and I gave him a big bag full of refereeing kit. And that was back in 2013. Family comes first, right? And that was massively important. And so I recognized that, you know, my needs when it comes to refereeing had to be put to one side and I got to focus more on the family. That's what I did. But I missed it. For those years that followed, I had this itch that, you know, I knew I had to scratch at some point. And the world changed with the pandemic, right? And typically in the past, I worked away a lot, delivering events at clients' addresses or their business locations or at hotels and whatnot. And the last couple of years, a lot of my content's being done online, which is great. So what that means is that, you know, I'm able to spend more time at home. And so in August last year, I've always refereed, but only done junior football. So I've not been doing it seriously. So although I stopped at the higher level, Doug, I still referee junior football. And I still paid my subscription and I paid £20 a year. And you have to close your dates with the FA to let them know that you're not able to do any senior football. And then in August last year, I forgot to close my dates. And next thing, an email comes through with an FA Cup appointment, right? It was the prelim round. It was Worksop Town versus Eastwood Community, something like that. I was on the line for this fixture, right? And I said to Amy, I says, love, I've not refereed at any sort of decent level for a number of years. I said, but the FA have sent me this appointment. And when the FA send you an appointment, if you don't do it, it ain't
That's
great.
It.
Yeah, they'll be like, why did you not close your dates, Gavin? You said you were available. We've given you this fixture. It's a big appointment. You can't now say you can't do it. So I said to my wife, Amy, I said, love, I'm going to have to do that, right? She was, oh, my God. Okay, go on then, crack on. Anyway, I did the fixture. You know, I really enjoyed doing it. And when I came back, I just said to Amy, I says, you know what? I'd love to get back involved in refereeing, you know, the fitness, you know, bossing a football match, the enjoyment I get. And she says, yeah, great, do it. And so here we are now in 2022. I'm back on the route to promotion, and I'm going back for my level four, which I'll hopefully get at the end of this season. I've got to do a certain number of games and so many assessments and club marks and all fitness tests and everything that gets done. But my goal of I am a Premiership match official, which I set back in 2003, it's back on. It's
excellent,
back on.
Excellent. So that there's a lesson for everybody out there. Okay. Sometimes these goals have to be paused, but that doesn't mean to say that you're not going to get there one day. I have no doubt that, well, you just need to, you know, tell me. I'll make sure that even if Chelsea are not playing, I'll watch that match so I can say, I know that fella.
Yes. So one day I might be able to say, Doug, here's some tickets. You never know. I mean, I'm 46 now, and you know, there's a lot of young referees out there, and there's some great quality referees. And so age is not on my side, but the belief, the mindset, the fitness. I did my fitness test, and you've got to run 2.6 kilometers, right, in 12 minutes. And there was five referees who went for this fitness test, all of them younger than me, Doug. Right, and I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to, you know, I'm going to be a laughing stock here.
This is going to be embarrassing.
This is going to be embarrassing. But you know what? On a cold, wet morning at the Doncaster Keepmoke Stadium, at the running track, we set off and they all just dropped out one by one. And at the end of the 12 minutes, there was only me that was still running. And I did 2,820 meters. That's what I did in 12 minutes. I was like, okay, I'm still fit enough. You know, I'm still fit enough. Yes, we can do this. Come on.
Excellent. Oh, no, that's amazing. That's really, really exciting. And that's something a bit different. I love that. I love that. And, you know, it's been put on pause, but now it's revived itself.
It's back on.
And you wrote it down. That's the other thing. You wrote it down way back then and you had it on your wall and, you know, it was there as a constant reminder.
Yeah, maybe I need to get it back out. I need to write it down. It's since August. I need to get that piece of paper out and put it back on display, don't I?
Absolutely. Get that vision board in your new office that you've created in your new home. So that you know, no, that's good. So have we got anything else bubbling? I mean, that's a big one. At your age, you know, Premiership official. Now, does VAR count?
Well,
oh, is that?
Do you know what? Any capacity, if I'm a fourth official, anything like that, you know, for me, that ticks the box.
You just want to be on the program.
I want to be on the program. I think the highest I can probably get to at my age is going to be an assistant referee, but that's still, a Premiership match official. But that's the aim and that's the focus. And so that's certainly what we call a big, hairy, audacious goal. But you know, in general, you know, I am quite anal about setting myself goals. And, you know, I do on a regular basis, Doug. And that's why when you shared your first book, Goals Do Come True, I got it, I read it. You know, I was inspired by, you know, some of the content within. And I think I put you a quick review on there as well. And I enjoy reading that stuff about goals. And I always make sure that I write them down. Many years ago, I came across this story, and it was about an experiment. I think you may have heard of it, an experiment that was done at Yale University, right? I think there was something like 150 students, and they were about to leave university. And the lecturer stood at the front and says, okay, guys and girls, hands up. How many of you actually set yourself goals? And about 10% of the room, I think, I might not be accurate with the information about the story, but about 10% put their hand up and says, yes, I set goals. And then he said this, keep your hands up if you write them down. Okay. And I think there was about 3% of the 150 students who kept their hands up. Okay. So just 3% said, yes, I set goals, and yes, I write them down. This was back in 1959 or something like that. And then the 20 or 30 years passed, right? And they managed to get this group of students together again. And they gave them a bit of a questionnaire, which had things like, what job do you do? Are you married? Are you single? You know, what's your salary? How many kids have you got? What size of house do you live in? All that sort of stuff. And what they found was that the 3% of students who said, yes, I set goals, and yes, I write them down, those 3% were worth more in monetary value than the other 97% put together. Now, I know that money is not everything, right? Success means different things to different people, okay? And, you know, I remember seeing a quote from a guy called Zig Ziglar. He says, you know, money isn't everything, but it ranks up there with oxygen. Okay, we need this stuff, don't we? Yes,
we do. We do indeed.
I thought, okay, that was quite a powerful experiment that I read many years ago. And I thought, you know what? It's massively important to make sure that not only do you set goals, but you also, you think on paper and you put it down, right? And that whole act of writing something down on paper and looking at it and keeping it in sight and in mind really helps it to sort of transfer to your subconscious mind, and stuff just happens. As you know, you can't just think, you got to take some action, right? And that's massively important. Like the refereeing, I can't just think, right, I'm going to be a Premiership match official, I've got to put the hard miles in, haven't I, and do the hard work. So you got to take some action with this stuff. But what you have to do, and what I would certainly encourage the listeners of the podcast to do, is make sure that not only do you set yourself some goals, but just commit them to paper, get them written down, and have them in sight in mind. And if you are someone who's very visual, right, you've mentioned the mood boards or whatever that might be, but you know, if you can draw pictures, I would also encourage you to draw a picture of your goal as well. Because from my experience, my relationship with you, back in 2008, I drew a picture of a big detached house, right, which was surrounded by trees. Back in 2008, this was something in my head. I want to live in a big detached house that is surrounded by trees. And as I look out of my office window today, what do I see? You've seen the house.
Yes.
You know, I've got a, I don't care, it's not a big detached house, but it's a detached house, right? You
know, big enough.
It's big enough. And there's a load of trees. And I said to Amy the other day, I said, isn't it funny? Because I drew this picture back in 2000. It was just something in my head. In terms of, you know, one of the goals that I had, a nice detached house with some trees around it. And now that's the environment that I see every day. I mean, so if you do, or if you can, even if you're not very good at drawing, right, it doesn't really matter. But just try and, you know, yes, write it down. And if you can, get a bit of a picture, because that there's something about that. I'm sure there's some science that sits behind how the mind works and whatnot that will help you to reinforce that want, that desire, and that drive, and it will help you to achieve it. So there's a couple of things there, yeah?
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I hope you don't mind me just spending a few moments to tell you about my new book,
I'm very excited. It's called Think Simple, Win Big: How to Build the Business of Your Dreams with a Few Simple Goals. And it's a rewrite of my original book, Goals Do Come True. And it's especially available for entrepreneurs, either new entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who want to get the fundamentals right with their business. So if you are interested in getting your hands on a copy, go to my website, www.dougbennett.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's perfect. And all I want to do, the purpose of my podcast is to move people from the 97% into the 3%. That's it. Because the world is, as Del Boy says, your lobster if you write your goals down. You know, it's all well and good having goals. We're in the new year of 2022 at the moment. Don't mind time stamping this, but everybody makes resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and around about the 18th, they've all gone by the by, you know. So the thing is, just get a little notepad. I did this back in 2004, and I was surprised when I finally found the book, six, 7 years later, and I'd completed 10 out of 11 of the goals, even though the little notebook had got lost. And that was the premise for my first book. So the thing is, this stuff does work. And if you can, draw a picture. I can't draw for Toffee. I do presentations and, you know, people pay me for what's in my head, not my drawing capability, I have to be fair. But that's it. If you can draw these things or get the pictures. Get the pictures, get that mood board up there. And you've got room for a mood board now.
Yeah. I have. And I remember one of my former colleagues, a guy called Sander de Groot, and he's excellent when it comes to hand-drawn visuals. And I said to him, I said, Sander, I can't draw for Toffee. And he says, Gav, everyone can draw, just that some people draw better than others. So I was like, okay, I'll go with the flow here. And I did my little stick men and stuff like that. But for me, I knew what it was. And so whether you're an arty, creative person or not, it doesn't really matter. Just get a bit of a sketch down.
Cool. That's a good call. Yeah, so I heard that the other day, actually. It's like this young lad was saying, well, you know, I can play the piano, but I'm not very good at it. I can paint a little bit, but I'm not very good at it. And I could do this, but I'm not very good at it. And, you know, whoever he was talking to was obviously quite a wise person and said, well, you know, at least you try all of these things. If you carry on trying them, you are going to get better.
Goes back to some of the research done by Carol Dweck in her book Mindset, where she talks about the phrase that you have to use is yet. I'm not very good at it yet, right? And that's the key thing. And it's a mindset thing. And I come across a lot of people that do that. They say, oh, I'm no good at this. I'm no good at that. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'm saying, okay, you might not be able to do it yet, right? But have what she calls a growth mindset. Things are possible. Anything's possible.
Absolutely. Yes. And we go back to that because I've read that book as well. So she talks about a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And there's so many people out there have a fixed mindset about things, and really just change it, just change the growth, because, you know, we only scratch, well, I say, I think we touch the frost on the snow on the tip of the iceberg of what our brain is capable of. So, you know, there's so much more that we're all capable of in this thing. So yeah, write some goals down and, you know, work your way towards it. Now, Gavin, tell us what you do in the world of customer experience and tell us about the book.
The story goes back when I left university. I joined at the time a company called BT Mobile, and I joined the customer service department as a temporary staff member. It was a bit of a stopgap at the time, you know, from university to a graduate sort of training program. But actually, as it happened, I stayed there. I stayed there for 12 years. And so, you know, customer service is something that I've always done. My mum and dad used to live in a pub. And so you can imagine interacting and engaging with the general public is something that has been, you know, bred into me from a very young age, Doug. And so I'm passionate about customer service and getting things right. And I just get so frustrated and disappointed when I look at some of the service that we get, you know, in the UK. And I think, you know what? There's some basic things that are not being done right. So in terms of what I do is I help my clients to ensure that they have great conversations with their customers, because we know that great conversations are going to result in great outcomes. And so I deliver my events. Pre-pandemic, I was doing face-to-face events with my clients. And now I guess probably 80% of the stuff that I do today is being done online. And so I deliver a series of core events ranging from the importance of getting off to a great start to the importance of ending the experience on a high. So we really focus on some of the basic things that need to be done when it comes to providing exceptional customer experiences. And so that's what I do every day, and I love it. And hopefully the listeners will be able to get from my passion and my enthusiasm that these events are not dry. They're engaging, they're interactive, making good use of the online tools that we have today to make sure that the learning is transferred from these events. I mean, 2 years ago, if you'd have asked me, you know, can we deliver great events online? And I've been a little bit, I'm not really sure, Doug. But today I think, you know what? It can be done. And, you know, it works. It's a safe environment. And the feedback that I'm getting back from my clients is just great. So, yeah. Did that answer your question? I hope it did.
You know, I think you're right in so much as there are so many people out there that unfortunately just don't care. They're in a customer-facing role and they're not bothered. And it doesn't take much, does it? No. You know, it's just a little bit of something. You know, you just have an interest in what you're doing. And actually, if you don't like what it is that you're doing, change your job.
Yeah.
You know, find something. Get some psychometric testing done on you and find out what it is that you should be doing. Maybe you should be sat behind a computer screen, data entering, rather than facing customers. I don't know.
Yeah. And sometimes when I walk into a hotel or I walk into a reception at a company, you know, and I meet the first person, you know, they are in that moment going to create an impression of the brand. And it's disappointing sometimes when you walk in and someone doesn't give you eye contact. They may be busy on their computer. They don't smile. They don't say hello. And you're thinking to yourself, this is so easy, right? This is so easy. When you go into a shop, you want someone to say, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Have a browse around. Will do. Yeah. You know, it's just simple stuff, because, you know, sometimes in the interactions that I have, I think to myself, am I about to give you some money for this? Because it doesn't quite feel right. Am I about to pay you for this? Because if I'm going to exchange my cash, I want to make sure that I'm doing it with someone that is going to be grateful and appreciates receiving it.
Yes.
But a lot of the time I'm thinking, am I paying you for this? It doesn't quite feel right.
Yeah. Especially if you're out eating in a restaurant and it's like, well, you've put 12% on the bill for that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names. There are some good places out there, obviously, where, you know, the 12% of whatever the bill is worth every penny. But yeah, sometimes you think, oh my God, really?
Yeah, and there's a lot of companies out there that are getting it right. You know, there's many companies that are just making it easy and they make the experience feel effortless. And guess what? Those are the companies that are smashing out of the park and people go back. They stay loyal, they spend more money and they recommend you to their family and friends. And you know what? It ain't rocket science in terms of what they're doing. They're just consistently getting the basics right. And that is what it's all about. I mean, the stuff that I share, you know, it's not highbrow stuff. It's not rocket science stuff. It's like, okay, get this stuff right. Yeah, because sometimes we think to ourselves, okay, how can we make this more complicated? I'm like, no. It's not about making it more complicated. It's about making sure that we consistently get the basics right. You get the foundations right. And that is going to create the experience that your customers want, expect, and deserve.
That's critical. You're right. I mean, you know, I'm handing over money for this. I don't need to feel shit about the idea that I'm handing money over to you. I want to feel good and happy and confident and hand it over with pleasure.
It reminds me, I saw a post. Did you recently purchase a new motorbike? Am I right in saying that, Doug, right?
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's still coming. It's still coming.
But I'm hopeful that the experience so far, and when you consider the amount of cash that you're going to exchange for this, I'm hoping that the experience from this brand so far has been good for you.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Yes. The sales guy is as frustrated as me. The unfortunate thing is a brand new model.
it was designed and came out onto the marketplace just last year, and it's got a center stand. And what they were finding is people were coming back and, you know, putting it on the center stand was making one of the pieces come a little bit loose.
Right.
So they've had to make that a little bit stronger. So rather than let me have the bike and recall it, they're saying, let's get the work done on it. Let's get it right so that you don't have to bring it back. But I'm very patient about these sorts of things. It's like, it's happened. I can't do anything. Well, I can't do anything about the event. All I can do is control my reaction to this event.
Exactly. But what's great about that experience is what they're practicing there is what I call something called next issue avoidance. What they're doing is making sure that you don't go away with that bike and then come back and say, there's a problem here.
Yes.
But then they're making sure they can see that there's going to be a potential issue. They can see that you might be faced with an issue down the line. And so they're making sure that they address that for you now in the moment.
Yes.
So that's called next issue avoidance. And
okay, yeah.
Sometimes what happens, you know, in customer service is that if you're a customer service expert or an agent, you often know about things that might impact the customer in the future, but people don't share them. They don't share that information because to them it's common knowledge, it's common practice. So once they know something, they automatically assume that the customer knows as well, but they don't. They don't. Oh, so what happens? So they don't share this. And so they have to, just so you know, what will happen in X, Y, and Z is this. So just so you're aware of that. Okay, great. So when that issue happens, if it did happen, at least then I'm forearmed and forewarned. So it's called next issue avoidance, but it sounds like in the company that you're working with there are making sure that they address that. But that is part of the customer experience.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. So the guy rang me and he said, all right, hold off, Doug, don't get too excited. I'm just telling you where we're at. And he said, look, the bike will be with you by the end of the month. He said, I'm hoping that I'm under-promising, over-delivering. That's what we want on that. He said, but you know, you've been so reasonable along the way. Yours is the first bike that we're going to be dealing with when the parts come in. And this is something I think for people on the other side of the customer service thing. Don't rant and shout and F and Jeff to the person that's on there. Because I've been perfectly reasonable for this fella. And I spoke to my insurance company and I've got to get a tracker put on the bike to save on the insurance. So I said, you know, do you have these trackers? And he said, yeah, we've got some in stock. I said, you know, can we get one fitted? So he sent me the invoice for how much it's going to be.
Mm.
And because I've been reasonable all the way through, I said, look, you know, I have been calm. I have been patient. Is there anything that we can do on the labor? Because the labor to put the tracker in, because the bike is already,
yeah,
the labor to put the, you know, is 350 quid plus VAT.
Wow.
Okay, because they've got to take the tank off and all that sort of thing. I said, you know, is there any chance that, you know, we can have a look at the labor cost? Because I know the part's going to be the part price. And he said, oh, yeah. So he came back to me and it's like, there's no labor. They're going to do that for free. So that saved me 400 quid.
There you go. So there's good reason to be amicable as a customer sometimes. And sometimes people think, you know, those that shout loudest get what they want, but not always the case. Not always the case. But what they're doing there is a technique. It's called labor inclusion, not labor illusion. So they're letting you know what's going on behind the scenes. And so you naturally become more patient as a result.
Yes.
Whereas if no one was giving you a call and keeping you in the loop as to what was going on, you start to become more frustrated and more impatient. And then you could then have a more challenging conversation with them. And so there's a lot, even if the solution's not quite there and it's not quite ready, it's still massively important to let the customer know what's going on and include them in the labor. Labor inclusion, not labor illusion, right? Let them know what's going on. And it looks like they're doing that.
Okay, I know there's a call I need to make as soon as I get off this podcast to one of my clients.
Let them know what's going on, Doug. Even though the solution's not there, you let them know you're working hard behind the scenes to arrive at the outcome they're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Good call. That's a good call. Right. So I'm going to ask, we've had some golden nuggets in here. It's been some really seriously good stuff, Gavin, and I appreciate that. But I want a goals-related golden nugget
from Gavin Scott, something everybody needs to know.
My top tips when it comes to setting goals is I would certainly, we've mentioned this already, write them down. Write them down and have them on display. And then I would say every day, make a list of maybe three or four things that are going to help to contribute to that goal and make sure you do those things. You just be anal about making sure that stuff happens because these goals are important to you. And so, yes, you write them down. Yes, you had them on display. But yes, think about some of the small things you can do on a daily basis that will help you to move closer towards achieving that. It might just be a small, tiny thing, but these small, tiny things make a big difference in the long run. So what do they say? A journey of 1,000 steps begins with one single step. So be taking those steps every day and that will move you towards what it is you're trying to achieve. So hopefully there's a few tips there.
There you go, people. That's it. Always put them under pressure right at the end to come up with something really good for you. And there we have it. Okay. So break the goals down, work on little steps to get you towards it. Gavin, thank you very much for joining me today. We're going to bring this episode to a close. We could talk all day. We're going to make sure that your stuff, your information is contained in the show notes so people can get hold of you. But just spell it out. What's the best place to get in touch with you if people want to make their business run efficiently, have amazing customer experience? What's the first place that they should go to get hold of you?
First place to go is go to the website www.gavinscott.me. Okay. And you can benefit from some free content there. You can download a customer service top 10 tips. If you're on LinkedIn, let's get connected. Happy to have a conversation with people. So please check me out on LinkedIn. There's more stuff that I share on there. So I'm quite active on LinkedIn in that space. So please do connect and let's have a conversation.
Perfect. Gavin, thank you very much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Been great to be on the show. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify. I'd love to hear about your goals. You can share them with me at dougbennett.co.uk.